The season of Lent. One of the seasons I enjoy walking through every year. Because I spend the time to think a little bit more about what Jesus went through. About how he suffered for me. Told you before, the season of Lent is 40 days from Ash Wednesday and till Easter morn. But it doesn't include the Sundays. Sundays are days of celebration. Sundays are days that we remember that not only did Christ die for us, but he was resurrected. Amen. And Satan no longer can hold death over us. Because those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior get to walk through the threshold of death into the presence of God. This psalm has both themes in it. The first half of the psalm has the theme of this is suffering. This is tough. This is difficult. I want to read some parts of this passage to you because as Jesus said it from the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, all he said was the first phrase, the first sentence in this psalm, people would have remembered this psalm. They would have been used to hearing it and knowing it. So as he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? They're remembering what else is in this psalm. It's a psalm that we should know well. I know that most of you probably know Psalm 23 by memory, at least close. And most of you know it in the King James by memory, just as we know the Lord's Prayer in the King James. But let me read a few select verses in the first half. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Have you ever wondered why Jesus said that while he was on the cross? Jesus, at any moment during his life, was able to turn and see God and talk with God as he talked to him face to face. At any moment. While he was hanging on the cross, all of our sins were placed upon him. All of humanity, all that lived before him, all that were living, and all that would come to be, were placed on him. And Scripture tells us that sin separates us from God. Now, the sins of the whole world were placed upon Jesus. And he turned to talk to God, and God wasn't there. My God, why have you forsaken me? I cry out, why do you not listen to me? Going a little bit further down to verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Did that not happen to Jesus on the cross? He cried out and said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And the people said, because some of them weren't familiar with that psalm, he's calling for Elijah. Let's see if he comes to save him. Some were standing there going, let's see if he can save himself. He saved other people. And they waited. And it goes on to talk about many other things that happened to him that day. Verse 16, dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and they cast lots for my garment. that happened right there at the cross. Soldiers didn't want to tear his garment to pieces. So guess what they were doing while he's dying on the cross? In a sense, they're rolling dice to see who gets the garment. They pierced his hands and his feet. All of that is there. All of that happens. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In my assembly, I will praise you. Now think about all this. Jesus is hanging on the cross and he says, God, where have you gone? How come you're not here to help me anymore? I can't talk to you. Look at what they're doing to me. And then what does he say? I will praise you. Can you praise God in the midst of trouble? You know, sometimes we're in trouble and we wonder, where is God? We wonder, where is God? And see, this psalm wonderfully answers all of this. Wonderfully. Now, let me tell you this, though. Sometimes we don't get the answer to the question that we ask. It may not be, where is God? It may be, why do I have to go through this? Why does this hurt so much? Why do I have to do this, God? Why me? And I cannot tell you from Scripture that we will always get the answer. And I do not believe that when we get to heaven, we will get the answer. I do not believe that. Scripture doesn't say that. Sometimes we just have to live with the question. Sometimes we just have to live with the question. And really, sometimes we don't have to have an answer. There are some things that I would love to have answers for, and I hope to get a, you know, God, where were you at this time in my life? Why did I have to go through this? But one of the things that I know is going to happen when I stand in front of my Lord face to face, the why is not going to matter anymore. It's not. It's just going to melt away. And I probably won't even care that I don't get an answer, because I get to be for all eternity now in presence of the God who saved me. But acknowledge, there are times that we say, where is God? You know what this psalm teaches me? It teaches me that we should pause and look up, because God's not hidden. We may think God is hidden. And I do not believe that God plays hide and seek with us. And I do not believe that God plays hide and seek going, if you can find me, I'll bless you. I don't believe that. God is always right there. And when I'm going, where is God? Maybe I just need to pause and look up. Maybe I need to slow down and look up. Because you know what? Sometimes we just live too busy. Just way too busy. You ever stop and just watch the world go around? Just look around you and what's happening, what's going on? Sometimes God has great things to teach us and to show us, but we don't see it. Because We're trying to answer the question, are we there yet? Nope, I'm not there yet. Got to keep moving. God's not hidden. God's right there. One of the books that I'm reading right now in preparation for my sabbatical talks about recollecting yourself. The prayer of recollection. You can pronounce that word recollection if you want to, but the idea of the whole thing is collecting yourself totally, completely, in all your senses and everything that you're doing so that you can be present to God. The prayer of recollection. How many of us are so scattered that we wonder, where is God? I've used the joke before, but this always connects in my head. Some of you may not have heard it. Some of you have, and I hope you'll go a step further with it. Okay? An elderly gentleman and his wife or riding around in the pickup truck. And they see a younger couple riding in a pickup truck. And she's practically sitting in his lap, right up close together. And the older lady looks at her husband and says, "Look at that, isn't that nice? How deeply they love one another, how well they are together." She said, "We used to be like that. What happened?" And he says, "I'm still sitting in the same place." And sometimes I think we wonder, where is God? God's still sitting in the same place. We just done got too busy to sit with God. Way too busy to keep going. Or maybe we're busy going and not stopping. That's why I'll forever, ever be thankful to Glenn Henson. Started every class period with either 10 or 15 minutes of silence. And he told us, he said, "I want you to just sit there and let God love you. Don't do anything. Don't pull out schoolwork. Don't pull out work for home. Don't think about your grocery list. Don't pull out church work and for stuff that you got to plan. Just sit there and let God love you." God's not hidden. God is present. I know some of you can't sit still. I know some of you can't be quiet. Amen. Especially Jerry. Always know when Jerry's here in the building because it sounds like there's a concert coming from the back hall. I walked in there one day. The music was, I could hear it all the way in my office. It was wonderful music. I loved it. I could hear it. It was absolutely wonderful. And I walked in there to talk to Jerry and he had headphones on. I don't know if he had the headphones on trying to block out the music that he had turned up so loud so he could listen to something else. Okay. And that, Jerry, that is always a joy to hear the music coming from the choir room. It really is. But sometimes we just need to sit in quiet so that we can find out God's not hidden. Turn everything off. Put your phone on silent. I did that for 2 days this week. absolutely wonderful. Found myself at times just sitting in my office chair at home, just staring out the window, not doing anything, not trying to accomplish anything, just sitting. And you know why? Because God is present and listening. God present and listening is a great comfort. But if I'm not in touch with that fact, I don't get the comfort, do I? If I'm, as my grandma used to say, if I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, I don't get to know that God's present and listening. Because I'm so busy running around. Folks, sometimes we just need to slow down. Just pause. It's okay. You know what? You can pause for a whole day and the world still turns. Did you realize that? Everything in the world still happens, even if you don't help it happen. Think about it that way. Did not God design things that way? Work 6 days and rest on one? Not work 6 days and kind of work on the seventh, because things got to be done. God is present. God is listening. Just take that word listening. Do you realize that everywhere you go, God's listening to you? That might change your word choice, wouldn't it? That might change the fact that you complain. God is listening everywhere you go. For me, that's such a comforting fact. Now, knowing God's presence, I can live with gratitude and praise of God. When I know that God is present, I can live with gratitude. I can be thankful. Thankful for allowing me one more day on this earth. Not that I want to stay here forever, by the way. I want to go to heaven. I want to be in God's presence. I look forward to it. I can't wait for the day that I can see Jesus Christ face to face. I can't wait for that day. But knowing that God is present, even though I can't see God, I can live with great gratitude for things. Lord, thank you for not letting me make the mistake that I just thought about making. Now, if you don't understand that, just go spend some time with that thought. Because sometimes I think about how to do things, and I'm thankful that I don't do it that way, because that would have ended up being a mistake. That would have been the wrong thing to say. And it allows me to praise God. You know what? God is present. I can praise God. I can tell God. I can thank you, God. Thank you for my next breath. Thank you that I saw that car before I ran into the back end of it. Thank you, Lord, that I was 10 minutes late. There are some times to be thankful for being late. I mean, there's all kinds of things I can be thankful for, isn't there? Thank you, Lord, that I've got a wife that loves me in spite of who I am. Amen?
Amen.
In spite of what I just did, she still loves me. And I have to go, really? Let's see how much further I can push it. What, Jerry? Don't go there. I mean, there's incredible number of things I can be thankful for. Incredible. God, praise you for a faithful church. God, praise you for people that love other people. In case you didn't notice, not all the world loves other people. You ever notice that? There's all kinds of things I can thank God for. There's all kinds of things I can praise God for. Trust me, I need to remember that. Because I can live the first half of this psalm really well sometimes. Oh God, where are you? Why am I going through this again? Will people never learn? Can't we live the first half of this psalm pretty good sometimes? Man, you know they are rotten people. Someday I'm hoping to meet they. Are we living the second half of the psalm? That's what I'm asking you. Are we seeing that God's present? And you know what a praise-filled life does? A praise-filled life also tells people how God is present. A praise-filled life lets other people know that God is right here, right now, with us. When I'm out in the midst of the world and I praise God for something, other people get to hear that. We shouldn't be scared to do that. We should be speaking up. Praise God for that. Praise God. That shows other people that God is present. The most common thing I have ever heard on people's deathbeds, whether they're Christians or not, both sets of people say this: I sure hope God will accept me. I've heard it from people that lived in the church their whole life, and I've heard it from people that have never approached God at all. I sure hope that God will accept me. And those that have been in church their whole life, I ask them, how can you even ask that question? How can you ask that? In spite of who I am, God accepted me. I don't know if you feel that way about yourself, but I do. In spite of who I am, God accepted me. God's present to me. God wants me to bring praises to God. Remember where we started with this? Jesus hanging on the cross. And he calls out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And the people that knew this psalm said, he's about to praise God. He's hurting and in pain right now and wondering where God is, but he's about to praise God. Let's wait. Because God's right here in the midst. I had a vision. I told you before, my brother's an artist, and he asked me one day some theological questions because somebody had commissioned him to do a picture of God very compassionately looking at, touching Jesus. Okay? Very compassionately. And he said, how do I do that? He said, because this lady wants me to copy this picture, and he sent me the picture, and he says, I can't copy it. I can't repaint that same picture for her. How do I make a picture that shows God being very compassionate? And I gave him an image that came to my mind that I'm hoping someday I can draw. The image that came to my mind is at the crucifixion. This hand coming down from heaven and helping to lay the cross down with Jesus on it. The hand of God reaching behind the cross and helping to lay it down. Because even at the cross, God was there. And I couldn't think of the compassion of God in any other way than just to see this hand reaching down out of heaven, big hand, by the way, and helping to lay the cross down so they could take Jesus off the cross. Got a sketch of it somewhere. I don't know if it'll ever turn into an actual picture because I don't have the talents of my brother. But I can't get that image out of my mind. God is present. And we need to be not just singing the praises, speaking the praises, living the praises, letting other people know that God's present and God's listening. You want to know what one of my first religious experiences was? I was in first grade. And yes, by first grade, I knew some words that you shouldn't use. And I used one of them, and this other little girl in my class looked at me and said, God doesn't like that. You shouldn't use that word. That was one of the first concepts I ever had of God. The very first. Another first grade little girl told me, God doesn't like that. Maybe sometimes we need to let people know what God does like, so they can know a loving God who's present and who's listening. Not that I fault her. First time I ever really had to think about God in my life, because I didn't grow up in a family talking about God. I didn't know there were words that God didn't like. I'm glad she told me. Have you looked to see God present? Have you slowed down and stopped enough to see God present? A God who's leading you to live life with praise. Have you stopped to notice? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, sometimes we just totally flake out. And we think you're not even present. We think you're not there to help us, guide us, comfort us, love us, hug us. But Lord, that's not true. It's not true at all. Even at the lowest point of your son's life, you were right there helping. You were right there in such a way that the Roman centurion standing there after your son died said, "Surely this is the Son of God." Lord, you spoke tremendously that day. And 3 days later, you spoke in a more tremendous way. And the truth is, you're always present with us, listening to us, guiding us, helping us, encouraging us, lifting us up, allowing us to cry and sulk. Lord, may we see your presence in a way that we might bring praise to you in front of all people, no matter who they are. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.